Hey, it's Elliot. Before we get going, we wanted to let you know that Sportsnet's weekly NHL newsletter is coming to your inbox this season. Written and produced by Rory Boylan, our NHL editor and co-host of the Tape to Tape podcast, Sportsnet's NHL newsletter will deliver original content you can't find anywhere else, plus all the most important news, analysis, and videos of the week. Sign up now at sportsnet.ca/newsletters. That's sportsnet.ca/newsletters to get the most in-depth, exclusive hockey coverage delivered directly to your inbox.
10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah. 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8 for Ovechkin. What do
you got? 1-1-1-1-1-1.
Welcome to the continuing star series of podcasts here on 31 Thoughts, the podcast brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra trucks. And Elliot, today we're talking to two people, both selected first overall.
You may have heard of them.
Both have well over 1,000 points. Both have won Stanley Cups. They both won Hearts and Lindsay's and Smythe's and Ross's. They are similar. They are different. 15 seasons in the NHL. For Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. We'll hear from Alex in a couple of moments. Sid is up first. Going into both these interviews, what was the expectation for Elliot Friedman?
You hope that they're in moods to chat. You hope that they're great, and they both were. You know, I think when you, all of you listening, hear this podcast, you will be impressed with how conversational they were and how much they had to say. And that's the only thing you can ever ask for when you're sitting down with two guys like this. They're at the heads of their sport. They're the ambassadors for their sport. And you're just hoping you get them on a day where they're reflective. And they both were. And I think they've been at every one of these, providing they haven't been hurt. Teams, they change around the guys somewhat. This year, for example, Colorado said McKinnon, he's been there, I think, for 5 years in a row. We'll do Cale Makar to give Nathan a break. Well, when you're Sidney Crosby and you're Alexander Ovechkin, you can't really get a break.
Yeah.
You have to be there. And in most cases, they have been. And I thought in these interviews, you're hoping that they say, okay, we've got to deliver. And they were both great.
Doesn't it seem, though, and I'm going to sound like Grandpa here, doesn't it seem like just yesterday they were joining the NHL? And they came into the NHL when everything was changing. It was the new game, the new logo, like the new everything. And here were these two guys that all of this newness was going to be built around.
You look at baseball, when they cratered after the 94 strike, what saved the sport?
Long ball.
Yeah. And that took 3-4 years. What pulled the NHL out after the lockout?
Crosby v. Ovechkin.
Yes. And it was right away. Like, Sosa was a veteran. McGuire was a veteran. Bonds was a veteran. Sosa hadn't really established himself yet. Both McGuire and Bonds obviously had. Crosby and Ovechkin were 18 and 20-year-old rookies. And they had to carry that, and they did it. When I look at those two guys and everything they've been through, the thing that I'm happiest for them both is they both got to win.
Yeah.
Sid's won three. Ovechkin's won the Stanley Cup now. And I'll tell you a story about Ovechkin. When they lost at home in the Olympics in 2014, I was the sideline reporter for that Olympics for CBC. And all the Russian players came off the ice after they lost to Finland. And the way it goes is you have a walking area and the broadcaster on the first half and the print media are on, and the radio people are on the other side, the TV people. And Ovi did Russian TV. And while he did it, every Russian player walked by. And Ovi finished his Russian interview, and you could see how hurt he was. And I asked him if he'd stop, and he stopped.
We have a good start. Score power play goal. Feel pretty good. And two mistakes. Give them the brief. And I don't have nothing to say. We try. We fight. We play till the end, but you know, and we lost.
All the skill and all the talent on this team, you and the other guys had so much trouble scoring. Why was that the case?
I don't know. That's a big big question. And It's tough. You know, it's a second Olympic game. We lost that kind of game, and you know, it's bad. And you know, team fight, team play till the end, and nobody give up. But we didn't score a second goal, and you know, it was pretty hard.
Just final one for you, Alex. It's just that you've been through some great highs, some tough times. Is this the toughest?
I'm not realized it yet. I know we have lots of pressure and the coaching staff, the team, but I don't know what to say.
Thank you very much, Alex. And I just want to say one thing. All of the Russian players stormed through the media zone. He was the only guy who stopped.
And I sent him a note after that through some people. I said, look, I appreciate you did that. You always get the benefit of the doubt from me. And Crosby has always been the same way. Like, I always judge people by how they react when they lose as opposed to when they win. It's easy to be a hero when you're the winner. Mm-hmm. It's harder to be there when it's going badly. Like Crosby references 2009 to 2016 in the interview. Both these guys have stood up all the time after losses, and Ovi had a lot more crushing defeats than Sid did. So I'm happy to see them both win because I think for what they've done for the sport, they've earned it.
And thankfully for us, and by extension you, both were quite reflective in their interviews with us. Alex Ovechkin in moments, but first, here's Sidney Crosby on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the ice for the presentation of the Conn Smythe Trophy.
For only the third time, the Conn Smythe Trophy is being awarded to the same person two times in a row. Sidney Crosby, you are the playoffs MVP.
Back-to-back Conn Smythe Trophies. You heard the list earlier tonight. Kelly listed it off. Two Art Ross, two Hart. Now two Conn Smythe, three Ted Lindsays, one couple of Rocket Richards, two Olympic goals, World Cup. Not much in the world of hockey that Sidney Crosby hasn't won.
Sidney Crosby, the Pittsburgh Penguins, joins us. Elliot, I want to rewind to a conversation we had very early this morning here in Chicago. Sitting across from us, Sid, was Matthew Barzal, and we're recounting the story. So it's Memorial Cup in Windsor. It's me and Colby Armstrong. Thunderbirds had just skated. They're off the ice. We want to talk to Barzal. Barzal puts up with my stupid questions about junior hockey, and I can tell he's dying to talk to Colby. And he proceeded to grill Colby for about 10 minutes on everything Colby could tell him about you. It was, what does Sid like? What would Sid do in this situation? Tell me about Sid. And so many of the younger players that have wheeled through here during the media car wash have referenced you. When you hear stories like Matthew Barzal growing up playing junior in Seattle, all he wants to do is meet Crosby, play against Crosby, learn about Crosby. What goes through your mind, and does it make you feel old?
I was going to say that. I was going to say exactly that. It makes me feel old, but it's a compliment, definitely. I think as a younger player, I had guys that I felt the same way. And, you know, I remember playing against them, and I remember Peter Forsberg was one that stuck out. I mean, I loved watching Peter Forsberg, loved the way he played. And first game against him, I should have just bought a ticket because I watched him, and I think I was -4. And I found out quickly you can't do that. You know, you respect the guys, and you try to learn a lot about them and what worked for them. But it's a competitive league, and pretty soon you're going head-to-head against them, and you want to beat them. But I think that's a huge honor. And like I said, I grew up and coming in the NHL, I had the same feelings what a lot of players do.
15 years.
Yeah.
This is your 15th season.
Scary.
It's amazing. You think about it. Like,
yeah.
I just wonder, you're going to play your 1,000th game this year with good health.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
Should be there already. Yeah. It's taking me a long time.
But that's the thing, Sid. Like, you got three cups, you got two gold medals, you have the respect of your peers. I'm just wondering if the 1,000th game means something considering everything that you had to get through to get back on track.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't think it means any more because I went through, you know, different stuff or went through injury and that kind of thing. I think it's a cool number. I mean, growing up as a kid, you want to play in the NHL. You don't know if it's going to happen. You don't know if it's going to be one game. You know, there's a lot of things that go through your mind. Your goal and dream is just to play in the NHL. And then, you know, we're sitting here talking about the opportunity to possibly play 1,000 games. That's pretty cool. I mean, I got to witness and be a part of Matt Cullen's 1,500th. And, mm-hmm. and after we were sitting around, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like 1,500 games? Like, how did you do it? Like, what is the secret? You know? But it's really cool. And that's not necessarily a points thing or, you know, it's just 1,000 games. It's a pretty unique thing. And yeah, it's just, it's hard to believe it's been 15 years. I mean, it's gone by really fast.
You know, the thing too is that I always wonder, for guys who've been around like you have, is there something you look back at yourself as a rookie and you laugh at the most about the way you were then?
Oh, yeah.
And the difference between now?
Oh, a lot. Probably the refs. I was so bad. I mean, I look back and I feel so bad. And I think I had 2 10-minute misconducts that year. And not to say that I don't get fired up now, because I'm pretty emotional and I get fired up. But it was just, when I look back and I think about, I put myself in that headspace, the amount of pressure and the expectation that I felt that year, not just me personally. I think I was able to kind of get through that. It was just the team too. You know, we were supposed to win the Stanley Cup. We were a favorite going into that season. You know, we had all these big signings and, you know, we lost our first 9 games. And I remember that was really hard for me, knowing that, like, up to that point, I'd been on winning teams growing up and we kind of did what we were supposed to do. And that was the first time I really kind of felt that. I was like, oh, you know, what's happening here? And with the refs and stuff, I think that frustration kind of showed. And, you know, I just look back on that and think, you know, that was something that I wasn't, you know, it was immature and it's just the way it happened, but it's something I learned from. And not to say that I don't get fired up, like I said, but, you know, if I could apologize to every ref back then, I would definitely do that.
Have you ever done that?
Apologize to the ref?
Yeah.
Oh, many times. Yeah. Many times. I mean, you get so caught up in the moment, in the heat of the battle, and they're human too. I mean, they're trying to make the right calls and they don't always see it. And don't get me wrong, there's sometimes where you're just going to disagree. It happens. You know, you don't see it the same way that they did, or that's going to happen. That's part of it. But yeah, I mean, to this day, I mean, there's times when, you know, I get a little too emotional or I say the wrong thing, and I'll be the first one to apologize, because you know what, we're all trying to go out there and, you know, in their way, they're trying to be successful, and in our way, we're trying to win games.
Elliot mentions 1,000 games coming up, and maybe the answer to this is it doesn't. But at any point, and if so, when, did it start to feel like work or a job? You're a kid playing hockey, it's fun, it's great. At any point, has this felt like work to you? Or has it always been, you know, I'm a kid playing hockey still?
No. I don't think it's ever felt like a job. I mean, I think things change. I mean, you see things differently. Your experience gives you a different outlook. Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to give you one example where I've ever felt like that. I think as you get older, maybe, you know, your role and maybe, you know, at 25, you don't think you've got to help a younger guy quite as much or that kind of thing, but it just shifts a little bit. But I wouldn't say it ever feels like a job. I think those are just things that become a little bit more important just because of your position, your age, your experience, that kind of thing. And you adapt and find a way to try to do it right.
You have never stopped trying to make yourself better. So this summer, when you did all your work, what was the target? What was the goal to make better?
I think just trying to maintain speed. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The game's so fast. So the longer you can stay quick and fast, you know, I think that'll benefit me with the game getting faster. But there's more time and effort that it takes every year to do that, just based on age and that kind of thing. So that's really what I try to do. And I think, you know, as long as the speed's there, then, you know, as far as making plays and executing, that stuff that'll come. But that's a pretty important thing, especially as a centerman, just, you know, you're covering so much ice over the course of a game, so you need to make sure that you're able to get there and make the plays you want to make.
When you think back or look back, I don't know if you even do this, go back to junior hockey and you're playing Rimouski Memorial Cup final against London. If we just isolated for the entire game, Sidney Crosby, shift by shift, how different would that player look to the player today? Like, what have you changed?
It's funny because I think if you did that with a lot of guys, you wouldn't see that much change. I think like maybe a few things here and there, the way you play, like you might be a little bit more aware defensively, things that you'd pick up over the course of time. But I think for most guys, you'd see a pretty similar player at junior than as you do in the NHL. I mean, what makes you successful, what gets you here, usually you rely on that over time. But maybe subtle things have changed, and I'd like to think, you know, experience, you know, whether it's my game defensively or staying in the moment a little bit more, not getting as frustrated, you know, with opposing players or officials or that kind of thing. I think that stuff you develop. But as far as your game, you know, what you rely on, I don't know if that changes a lot.
You used to work a lot with Ryan Whitney, one of your teammates, who does now a great job with
Do
the Chick Oats podcast.
Do you drink Pink Whitney's?
I haven't tried. I'm still waiting for my order to come. It's probably got a lot of orders, though.
I remember working the World Cup of Hockey with Whit and Colby, and it was a Canada game, and you were spectacular, and your parents were there. And on the air, Whit says he's a first-line grinder or superstar grind. You've heard that one before.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself? Like, Whit's point was like, he's a superstar, but he has a work ethic of a grinder. How would you describe yourself?
I'd say similar to that. I think the biggest thing for me is just being able to continue to adapt. And I like to think I'm a pretty good athlete. Like, I think that I played a lot of sports growing up.
Not bad.
And I think that it's good to analyze things and, you know, it's good to be able to prepare and that kind of thing and have that discipline. But ultimately out there, the game's pretty fluid. I mean, things change a lot. Over the course of seasons, the game changes, gets faster, the way teams play, and you have to be able to adapt. And I think that's something I rely on a lot, is just the ability to be able to adapt. And, you know, whether it's playing differently in certain situations or improving something, I rely on that. So I think just being able to adapt is probably the biggest strength I need to be able to have.
So there was about a week span this year after your season ended where it looked like there was a possibility that Malkin could be traded. Number one, like, what was your reaction to that? And the second thing I'm curious about is, do you ever call like Jim Rutherford and just ask, you know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. My reaction to that, honestly, was I've been through this before. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because it brought back those memories, you know, so many times in that window between like 09 and 16 where we fell short, and the next few days is like, you know, this trade's going to happen, you know, and that's the consequences and the result of losing. And I understand that, I've been through it, but I also know that that's also the way it is. And you wait for kind of the dust to settle and to really evaluate things where they're at. And, you know, usually when you do that, everything kind of gets a little more clear and you figure out what it is you have to do and understand kind of what situation you're in. But I think as far as talking to Jim, I don't really talk to Jim that often. I mean, he's great at getting a pulse on the group and guys individually, and, you know, he does what he needs to do that way. But I just try to focus on playing. I mean, that's the biggest thing, and I haven't really been one to ever call a GM and say, I need this, or I think we need to do that. They're there for a reason. That's their job, and I feel the most comfortable that way. And if there's anything they need an opinion about, I'm happy to share it, but I'm not one to be knocking on the door, you know, giving my opinion about a lot of things. And, you know, the whole Geno thing, I think that's part of losing. And you understand that there's always different possibilities, different outcomes that come with that. But, you know, I'm happy to know that he's back.
Great player, great interview. Sid, thanks for your time today. Okay. Really generous.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, we're nearing the best time of the year, puck drop. It's also the time to pull your gear out of the basement and work off the summer rust. And there's no better way to handle your equipment to the rink than the next generation GMC Sierra. Why? The multi-pro tailgates. Whether you're 6 or 60, loading one hockey bag or a bunch, the multi-pro tailgate makes access to the truck bed easy. That's because it turns into a step that's 4 feet wide and can hold up to 375 pounds. Meaning, even when your legs are burning after a tough skate, the Sierra has you covered. That's Sidney Crosby. Soon to come in a moment here, Alex Ovechkin. Whenever I think of Crosby, the one word that always comes to my mind right away is awareness. You told that Alex Ovechkin story off the top of the podcast. I've got one about Crosby that I use every now and then when I talk to young hockey players. So I'll do like group discussions for various agencies, talking to young hockey players, what to expect, how to handle social media, how to handle traditional media interviews, all that kind of stuff. And the one story that I always come back to, this is before the Vancouver Olympics. This is Team Canada orientation camp in Calgary. And it was one of the nights was having dinner with a couple of friends from the media and a couple of players from Team Canada ran to have a meal as well. And we're up at the bar having a beer. And Crosby was there and someone sort of tapped us or him, I can't recall, on the shoulder and said, "Hey, do you mind if we take a picture?"
Mm-hmm.
And Crosby said, "Yeah, of course." And so they wanted a few of us in the picture with Crosby. And I noticed it was so subtle. The first thing that Sidney did was he took one of the group's beers that was closest to everyone and pushed it away to make sure that it wasn't in the photo.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that, because we've all had pictures before where you get a picture, maybe you're blinking and you look like you're half buckled, then you can see a beer beside someone. You go, "Oh, look, there's Crosby buckled at some bar in
yes.
Calgary," the last thing you need. And I just thought to myself, not only is this guy aware of everything happening on the ice at all times, he's aware of every frame that he's in with photographs and didn't want that bottle of beer to be in a picture with him.
It's great attention to detail, like he is as a hockey player, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've just heard that there's a lot of low-key Sidney Crosby acts of kindness that we're never going to know about.
My buddy Shaz runs a car service, okay, mm-hmm. 5-star parking.
Did he pay for that plug? How much is that worth?
So
I bet you he parks lots of GMCs there.
So my buddy Shaz, so he's doing work in the Rogers Cup, and Crosby was going one day, and it's right beside the ice gardens at York University. So Crosby pulls up, and Shaz is going to park his car, and Crosby's like, "There's a rink there," and Shaz is like, "Yeah." He goes, "Think there's any kids there?" And Shaz said, "Well, yeah, I would imagine so." So I think he pulled out of his gym bag or something like a stack of, I don't know, 8x10s and a Sharpie, and he said, "Come get me in 15 minutes. I'm just going to go sign some autographs for kids." And went into the rink, unannounced, any kid that wanted, he's very much aware of who he is and how influential he is. He said, "Just come and get me in 15 minutes. And just went to the rink and for 15 minutes signed autographs with pictures he already had for a bunch of kids and then went and watched the tennis.
Not surprised.
Not surprised at all. That's Sidney Crosby on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. We'll dovetail to Alex Ovechkin. You know, when they came into the league, you know, Sidney had a lot of polish to him. Sidney Crosby came into the league playing from the Rimouski Oceanic of the QMJHL, and he already looked and behaved like a pro. Alex came in rock and roll. One used the key to open the door to get to the NHL. The other kicked the door down. And that was Alex Ovechkin, who had a lot of rock and roll in him.
Mm-hmm.
And was brash and unpolished and rock and roll and go to the net hard and hit hard. And everything was larger than life with Alex Ovechkin. I'm glad we caught him when we did for this interview, because he really gets reflective about things in the past, and specifically things he wished he could change or would change around him. The regret question is always an interesting one for athletes after double-digit years in their career. With that, Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals.
Nation of the Conn Smythe Trophy to the most valuable player of the 2018 Stanley Cup Playoffs.
The winner of the Conn Smythe Trophy as the most valuable player in the playoffs, the leading goal scorer in the playoffs, and the captain for the Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin.
Predictable, and that will go nicely with the Stanley Cup and the Art Ross and the Hart and the Lindsay and the Calder and the Rocket Richards. He's already won.
Two summers ago, Alex Ovechkin, it was all about swimming in the fountains. What was this offseason like for number 8?
Spending time with the family, just to recover my body, my brain, and go back to work.
You know, you talked last summer about fatherhood and how great it was. A year later, Alex, like, how much has it changed you being a dad?
It changed a lot. As soon as you have a free time, you just want to spend time with the little one and see how he's growing up. You know, he's walking. Right now, he started walking. He started talking a little bit, and that changes just give you a smile and happiness.
See, I wonder, like, the one parent is always the disciplinarian. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. There's always one parent who says, I'm just going to let the kid do whatever they want. Which one are you?
I'm the second one. My wife said no. I'm saying all the time, yes, you can do that. You can do this. Same with my dog. So my dog can do whatever he wants. And when my mom, my wife is over there, then he starts praying.
In Canada, we always ask this question even early on. Left-hand shot or right-hand shot?
I don't give him a stick right now yet, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be maybe a lefty.
Mm. It usually does happen that way, too.
But we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to give him two sticks, and we'll see how he's going to take a stick.
You know, the good thing about that is, Alex, that means you guys can play opposite sides on the power play.
Probably I'm going to be retired after that. After 18 years? Come on. No.
A couple hours ago, we talked to Sidney Crosby sitting in that chair, and we asked him, you know, you look back at your first couple of years in the NHL, you know, what do you think? And he said, oh, I really didn't like the way that I behaved around referees. When you look back at the early part of your career, what do you look at and you say, I wish I would have acted differently? For Crosby, it was about referees. What about you?
I was always good with the referees. I think I would learn English a little bit quicker, because sometimes with the company, you go out with the guys, you know, for dinner, and you can even say something. So it was kind of hard, but nothing can change. You know, I'm from a different country. I all my life talking to one language, and then I came and I have to change my language. It was hard, but nothing you can do right now, right? So
yeah,
it's interesting to hear you say that, Alex, because that first year you tried to do every interview, and I think people respected that because they knew English wasn't your first language.
Yeah, because I want to be friends with everybody. I want to understand the jokes, understand what's happening, you know, in the conversation. Sometimes I was with the Zubrus, and Brian Wilsey was my roomie, and what we do, like, talking, and I don't understand him, mm-hmm. He don't understand me. And other than that, he was patient, and he can give me some advices. He learned me a lot. He teach me a lot about languages, about what I have to do with this, so I can do that. And, you know, I was like a little boy with big parents around me.
You know, 15 years, Alex. This is your 15th season. It just seems like yesterday we remember you going on the ice for the first time in the NHL, seeing your first goal.
Scoring the Coyotes goal.
The Coyotes goal. It seems like it's gone so fast.
Yeah. And, I never forget when we have a dinner with Sergei Fedorov and Viktor Kozlov, me, Sam, and Kozlov, and Feds, and we was young, right? We was 24, 25, and those guys played like 2 years in the league, last 2 years in the league, and they said, like, listen, just stop smiling, like, just enjoy that moment. Say, come on, man, like, we still have like 10 or 12 more years in the career, and right now, like, this is my 15th year, and I always will remember that what's those guys tell me. And time flies.
It does.
And when you came to the NHL, I mean, you had a really cool look that was way before its time. Now players are starting to come out of their shells more, be more expressive, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. And here's Ovechkin with the grunge style low pants, with, you know, painting skates, blades, different colors, and painting things on the tux as well, tinted visor. I mean, you had a really cool look. Would you ever think, now the players are being allowed to be more expressive on the ice, would you ever look at bringing any of those things back?
Yeah, tinted visor for sure. I love that. I think if player wants to do tinted visor, you should, you know. I think it's a bullshit to listened to goalies and said, like, we can see the ice where he's shooting. How you can see the ice from the blue line, you know? Come on. So
goalies are cheaters.
Yeah, they are. Then they are goalies. So I think that rule should change. But I think you have to be creative, you know, because the fans love it. We play for the fans, right? Fans wants to see not like regular guys. They want to see some stars. They want to see some fashion. They want to see something new. And that's all about.
When you look at where you're at right now and how you play the game, I remember talking to a lot of people when you first started, and I thought this to myself. I said, look at how aggressive this player is, going to the net hard every single shift. I still remember your first couple of shifts in the NHL, just laying guys out. I remember saying to myself, this guy's going to hurt himself, like really hurt himself out there if he's going to hope to have a long career. And you never really changed at all. At any point did you say to yourself, you know what, I can't keep doing this to myself. Maybe I need to take the foot off the pedal a little bit. I mean, Elliot mentions 15 years. That's hard hockey you've played for 15 years.
I think it's because of my style, because I'm healthy enough to get a hit, give a hit, and my body gets used to it. You know, like even when we play basketball or whatever, I'm still play aggressive. I still want to have a contact with the different players. You know, it's something in my blood, I think, and especially on the ice. Like even we don't have a contact in the game, I still want to make a hit because I see like the guy put the head down and they say, wow, this is a moment to get a hit, and like, but you don't want to do it. You know, it's not a regular game. But in regular game, yeah, like if you have a chance to hit someone, why not? You know, it's you just show your strength, and I think you get more respect from your teammates if you play hard.
We're sitting here on Friday afternoon. Earlier today, you met with a bunch of other media and you said, maybe only two more years. Now, you're joking when you said that, right? That's not serious.
You never know. I'm going to play two more years, and I asked Sergei when we can start talking about new deal, and he said, I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to say what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure like me and Ted and Matt going to talk about it in the future, and we will decide.
You know, you have a young son now, as we talked about the start, and I'm sure you want your son to learn Russian and be in Russia. Does that change your feeling about how long you might be North America at all?
No. I think for him, he's going to speak anyway two languages, because or maybe three languages. I don't know. Maybe he's going to learn Mexican language, you know? I think for us, it's most important thing is to get healthy, you know? Like, if you're healthy and you can still play the game you want to play, you should think about, okay, maybe a couple more years. If not, I don't want to be a player who, like, you know, sign a contract and then, like, okay, like, I'm hurt and I'm just going to get paychecked and I'm just going to enjoy my life. I don't want to do it.
3 years ago, I did an interview with you at the World Cup of Hockey, and I asked you about catching Gretzky. And you looked at me like I was insane. Okay,
you're I look at you right now. Same.
Like, you're still scoring at an incredible rate. You could do it. Does it matter?
Well, of course it's matter. But how I said, I'm not going to score 200-300 goals in 2 years, right? So it's going to take 5 years or 6 years. But I have to be healthy enough to do that. And how I said, I don't want to play just for that record. I want to be healthy. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy the moment when I'm on the ice.
There's been some greats goal scorers in the history of the NHL. Certainly Wayne Gretzky holds the all-time record. Mike Bossy, Rocket Richard. There's been wonderful goal scorers. Many people, though, will say Alex Ovechkin is the best goal scorer the NHL has ever seen. What do you think when you hear people say that?
It's nice to hear it. But again, if you take those names, it was a different area. It was a different hockey. Everything is changing so quickly. And, you know, I came to the league 15 years ago and hockey was different. And if you can look hockey like 4 years ago, it was a different hockey. Young guys came, coming to the league. They show the speed. They show the skill. And new generation is going to come after 4 years, and it's going to be, you're going to talk to McDavid and or Eichel, and they're going to say, wow, look at this guy, how like he's bringing so much different stuff to the hockey, you know, and you want to learn. So every year, something's changing in the hockey for sure.
Well, one thing that's not changing anytime soon is you're still a key piece of it and one of the most fun players to watch. It's been a delight so far. I know you say, oh, 2 years and we'll see, but the NHL is going to be much poorer when you're not part of it. Thanks so much for doing this, Alex.
Thank you, guys. Thank
Good luck with the Caps this year.
Thank you.
I like how Alex Ovechkin Elliott got real hot about the visors. That still bugs him that he's not allowed to wear the tinted visors. Oh, and the part about goalies being liars. Yeah, it's in the chef's kiss as well.
The NFL has changed that, eh? You can wear tinted visors now in the NFL. I don't know if you need a medical reason to do it or you just can, but there is a rule now in the NFL you can do that.
It was a cool look he had when he started in the league,
I loved it.
He looked so fantastic.
He was early. He was before his time. It's funny, like, hearing the regrets, like you talked about at the beginning of the interview, Crosby talking about the referees and now Ovechkin with this. It's good stuff. And I'm still blown away that this is their 15th year.
Yeah. It was my first walk-off or my first pregame interview.
Oh,
it was
really?
Alex, December 29th, 2007 against Ottawa. Ron was teeing you up for Toronto.
Yes.
But first we go to Ottawa. I'm Jeff Merrick from Hockey Night in Canada Radio, benchside with Alex Ovechkin. Alex. Yeah, my first interview on Hockey
That's
Night
amazing.
In Canada. Thoughts on Alex Ovechkin as we wrap up here?
Crosby, I think that guy's going to play forever. As long as he can. He lost time, and you can see that it means a lot to him now, and he's coming up on his 1,000th game. That whole Ovi thing is really interesting to me about his health. One of my favorite baseball players was Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt quit 2 months into the 1989 season, and he said, I can't play at my level. It would be really something if he was within striking distance of Gretzky, and he just said, nope, I'm not that guy anymore.
If I can't snap 40, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, but the thing is, I love that attitude.
If I'm not going to be the best, I'm not going to be here?
Yes, I love it. Someone told me that Nick Lidstrom had a bit of that, too. He was...
Well, he left, and he's getting Norris Trophy
Yes,
votes.
And for one thing, it was family concerns.
Yeah.
And secondly, well, some of the Red Wings told me that some of his issue was, if I'm not going to be what I expect from myself, I'm not playing. I have so much time for that attitude.
Hope you enjoyed those interviews. Thanks to Sidney Crosby. Thanks to Alex Ovechkin for being generous with their time. We will take you out now with an artist that just released his 7th studio album with City of Glass. Here's Eamon McGrath.
Calling all the red light runners who will never stop. Calling all the poets out there with writer's block. Calling all the drunks by the doors of Aspinall. I'm calling out your names cause I'm never gonna shake you off. Where can I find you? And what'll be the mailing address? Freeways and streetlights exploding my consciousness. To live and to die like the first and last blade of grass. Diving so deep underneath that city of glass. Calling all the messengers, the messages that all got shot. Calling all the generals who never called at all.